of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It had finally come to a head. Jesus' enemies all throughout his ministry had got their chance and they had seized it. Using Judas, they finally captured Jesus, had him arrested, and took them into their custody. And so from tonight's reading, we shift our attention and our focus from Jesus back to Peter, the head disciple. And with Peter and what his words and what happens tonight, we see that a big promise, with a big promise comes a big disappointment when that promise is not kept. Peter had said to Jesus only a few hours earlier when they were in the upper room, "Lord, wherever you will go, I will go too, even if it means going to my death." And then, when Jesus told Peter that he would deny him, actually, three times, Peter said, "Lord, I will never deny you." And so now, here in tonight's reading, the moment of truth had come. Peter's opportunity, if you'll look at it that way, to prove Jesus wrong and to prove to the world how faithful he truly was to his Messiah. And so Peter has then been put to the test. The authorities have arrested Jesus. It's publicly known. This troublemaker has been taken. We have him, and he is on the downfall. And so Peter, following them into the courtyard of the high priest, is there. And what happens when he's put to this test of his fidelity to our Lord? He fails, and he fails miserably. Three times he's asked, three times, if he is one of Jesus' disciples, and three times he denies it. And in Peter's unfaithfulness, in his failure, we actually see a very good picture of ourselves. And we see also the devil's work against the church. We sing in the church of our confidence for God to protect us and give us victory over the devil and all of his works. It's a continuing song of the church in whatever circumstance. One of those is from the third to last stanza of our hymn theme for this Lent, "O Dearest Jesus." We sang it just a moment ago. We sing, "Whatever of earthly goods this life may grant me, I'll risk for thee, no shame, no cross shall daunt me. I shall not fear what foes can do to harm me, nor death alarm me." Now, the same confidence that is clearly expressed in this beautiful hymn was also the confidence I think Peter had when he said to the Lord, "I will follow you even to death, and I will not deny you." I'm sure he believed everything that he said at the time. He'd made the bold confession earlier. He had a good track record for this. When Jesus asked the disciples earlier on in his ministry who they said he was, Peter spoke up for the group and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in John 6, when many people left Jesus and quit following him after they were scandalized at his teaching, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "Are you going to go too?" And Peter again speaking up, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." But here we find Peter in quite a different state than he formerly was. Instead of boldly confessing, we find him cowering in the corner at the questions, the simple questions of a servant girl as to whether or not he knew Jesus. He spoke like them. He had the Galilean accent. And so she asked him the question, and he denied it vehemently. "I do not know the man," calling down curses upon himself. And after doing it the third time, he heard the rooster crow the third time. He remembered his promise to be faithful, and then he went and he wept bitterly. For everything else that our lives are in Christ, that our lives are together as the church, as Christians, this instance with Peter is just as much a part of it as anything else. Like Peter, we promise fidelity to our Lord. In our baptism, or our confirmation vows, we say before God and before the church and before the world that we will lead godly lives, not go willingly into sin. We say that we will hold to true doctrine, the true confession of our Lord and his work and his teachings and his words. And then after we have made this confession boldly and clearly and publicly, the pastor then asks us before everyone, "Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than deny it?" And we say yes. We say yes in response to this. And then, just like Peter, we relapse. The situations or the words between him and us, they might be different, but their essence is the very same. We're silent when we should speak up. When it's a time to confess what is true, we cower away, holding our tongue, hoping no one notices us. Or, perhaps even worse, sometimes we confess what is not true. In our culture, for instance, many paths lead to the top of the same mountain, or it's all really the same, as long as you're sincere in what you believe. And so, in these denials, whether explicit or implicit, we find ourselves exactly just like Peter, weak as he was. But our Lord Jesus knows our weakness, and he does not deny us. See, Jesus predicted Peter's denial before it happened, and after it happened, when he saw him again, he forgave him. After our Lord's resurrection, there was one morning when he was eating breakfast with the disciples on the shore. And when the breakfast was finished, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter responded, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Then feed my lambs." And then a second time, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Of course I love you. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then tend my sheep." And then a third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said emphatically, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." All this is to say, echoing Peter's threefold denial of our Lord at the height of his passion, approaching the height of his passion, Jesus then not only forgave Peter three times, but he reinstated him fully into what his job was in the church, that is, to be a pastor in the apostolic office, to feed and to tend the sheep of Christ, his flock. Peter had indeed sinned deeply and greatly when he denied the Lord, but the Lord's love and forgiveness for Peter was much deeper than Peter's sin was. And he reinstated him them fully, with no qualifications, ifs, ands, or buts. And like Peter, Jesus knows us, and he knew us, and he knew how unfaithful we would be, but he still came for us all the same. We break our promise from our baptism and our confirmation to leave godly lives and to hold to true doctrine. In many and various ways, we don't do it. But he does not then take that promise away from us because of this. He does not nullify what he said he would do for us in our baptism. He does not snatch away his body and blood that he gives to us for forgiveness. Rather, instead of these things, he comes to us as we come to him with open arms, just like the son, the father from the parable of the prodigal son. And he welcomes us back into his home with open arms and gives us everything that is his. In weeping, then, we confess to him that we are poor, miserable sinners. Cliche, but true. And God still welcomes us home with open arms. Our sacrifice, we don't come bringing a sacrifice of works or even any promise, "I won't do it again." But our sacrifice upon our return is simply a broken and contrite heart. Something really of no sacrificial value. But our Lord accepts it all the same. He does not despise it, but takes it and treasures it. And so we sing in the second to last stanza of our hymn tonight, "But worthless is my sacrifice, I own it. Yet, Lord, for love's sake, thou wilt not disown it. Thou wilt accept my gift in thy great meekness, nor shame me in my weakness." In this voice, in these words, we voice the comfort, the true comfort that we have in our meek Savior who came to save us, the meek. He can't accept our sacrifice as a sacrifice, our confession of sins, because that's what he came for. He came to be a sacrifice for sins. He did not condemn Peter when he saw him again after the resurrection, but he forgave him. And he does not condemn us when we repent, but he forgives us too. And this is the foundation and the ground of our hope for this life. In this life, we are free to love our neighbors out of gratitude and joy, because our Father in God has loved us through his Son. We don't love and live our lives out of coercion and fear, but out of gratitude for grace freely given. And in this hope, appropriately, we sing of the joy that we will have forever in eternity with our God in paradise, saying, "And when, dear Lord, before thy throne in heaven, to me the crown of joy at last is given, where sweetest hymns thy saints forever raise thee, I too shall praise thee." In Christ's holy name, amen.